There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. We have made it to Friday. And on today's show, I've got tons of guests, and we obviously have tons of stuff to talk about in the news. Like I said to Jeff there at the end of his show, when I was guessing what the next thing that wasn't Nancy Guthrie out there, the next thing that wasn't the Epstein, what would move the Epstein files off the top of the fold there? I would have thought maybe war with Iran, which we'll talk about later. But the aliens are back. The alien, it's back. And what will we find out this time? Will it be the same things as before when nerds like me get all excited? Oh, they're going to release the stuff on the aliens. And then it's like, all the stuff we already found out about on a podcast or on Twitter, they sit and talk about it, you know, months later, years later, and in a Senate subcommittee. All right. Big story today, too, is SCOTUS's ruling on the tariffs. And I want to talk about this at a couple different levels and love to hear from you. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. Same number, 251-343-0106. Plus, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us one of those talkback messages. But the Supreme Court struck down the executive order against executive order from the IEEPA from the Trump administration using the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to put in those broad tariffs. So Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that many of the tariffs President Trump had imposed through that executive order were unlawful because they exceeded the legal authority Congress had given him. So once again, 6-3 ruling on this that, and I don't think this is over yet, because I don't know, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, because out of mechanisms to impose tariffs, I guess they went with the one they thought was best at that point, but the IEEPA, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, is just one of them. 1977 law to put that in. So the Supreme Court says today that it's 6-3. The president using executive orders unlawful because they exceeded the legal authority Congress had given him. Okay, so, and a side note to this too, this is something that you could support tariffs and also go, there is a danger, and there has been a danger, of using the executive fiat. It's why the, seems like the metronome goes back and forth depending on who's in the White House, right? Because Congress has not done their job. Things that should be the job of Congress have moved into the executive branch and the judicial branch as well. And so you make these decisions, you know, and then remember, I mean, it's Biden made a big deal coming in and undoing Trump's executive orders. Trump made a big deal coming in, undoing executive. I mean, this is what's going on. And just a side note to think about this, that the Supreme Court striking this down, the Emergency Powers Act, would also in the future keep somebody like a President AOC. Huh? And she's the most popular Democrat out there, right? Even more than Newsom, maybe. From putting in emergency socialism or something for the country. So, all right. So here's what went down. So the Supreme Court held that the IEEPA does not give the president the authority to impose tariffs because Tariffs effectively are taxes on imports, and the U.S. Constitution gives the power to impose taxes and tariffs to anybody? Right, Congress and not the president. But once again, so much of this stuff from the left and the right gets done in the executive branch because Congress, who is, that's their job, doesn't do their job. So the Supreme Court says it's not the job of the executive branch to put a tax in. John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority, emphasized that without clear congressional authorization, the executive branch cannot take such sweeping economic action. So this is not a decision on are tariffs good, tariffs bad. Is it in the province? Is it in the, it's a term that people use, is it in the bailiwick of the president to be able to do that? This is more of a discussion of separation of powers, right? I mean, we don't go to a, well, we'll do it. I tell you what, when Rusty Glover comes in, we can make it a class on this. But separation of powers are important in the system that our founders put up. Court opinion reinforces the key constitutional principle. Significant economic policy decisions, i.e. taxation, is for Congress to do. That is like, that's their job in our system. So it's not the executive branches, but I'm going to get to this. I think there's other ways they may try to get around this. The ruling is saying that the IEEPA, reciprocal tariffs on imports from countries that were part of the trade policies. I guess the way I read this, and maybe constitutional scholars can do better, if the Congress did this, it would be fine. They're not judging whether we can put the tariffs out there. They're saying the president, the executive branch, can't do this. And so in doing this, it leaves a lot of questions here, right? Not all the tariffs, the way I understand this, I was reading something on Twitter earlier, not all the tariffs are eliminated. Specific tariffs that are under statutory authorities, Section 232 and others, the tariffs on steel and aluminum may remain in place depending on how they were legally justified. So some of the tariffs will stay in. Supreme Court also did not directly rule on refunds to businesses that have already paid the now invalid tariffs. Now, what are you going to do? Do you go back retroactively and have the Treasury give these companies back the money they've already put in? Because, you know, we the people have been paying the tariffs and buying products, but a lot of companies have been eating tariffs, at least portions of them, to try to stay competitive. So we could be talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. If y'all haven't noticed, we're not flush with cash at the Treasury to be paid back to companies. Now, this is, think about that part, too. You could make an argument legally that if the Supreme Court said that this was illegal to do this, then the money that was taken through the tariff should go back to the companies, right? How are we going to, I mean, some people have said tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, you can hear President Trump talk about how many dollars came in from the tariffs. Is Treasury going to cut checks back to those companies for it? Other part of this I was looking at is how the markets reacted to it. And this was so just watching, it may have changed since the last 15, 20 minutes, but stocks generally on the way up today. There was, I think, a little up and down, but S&P 500, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, all were up. And you think the areas that would be big here would be probably retail, right? Also, by the way, it said European markets, MarketWatch says European markets edge higher following this decision. So what stocks have rallied best today, as best as I can see, and this was like a thing that MarketWatch.com did, consumer and retail stocks that are obviously dependent on stuff from China and elsewhere gained. Industrial stocks climbed, tech stocks climbed as well. That's what the tech bros need. They need a little relief, right? So this is, but it's not, the market hadn't gone completely berserk, but it is up. And I wonder how much of that was built in, right? So markets, we'll say, responded positively, but not crazy out there to the Supreme Court decision. I'll get your texts and calls when we come back. Plus, other tariffs that could be imposed by the president other than this IEEPA. Talk about that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Great time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Anna, looking at, I was kind of going through this Supreme Court decision on the tariffs, and I don't know if one made a difference with the other, but gold and silver both up today, like they've been most days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, silver has climbed over $80 now, and gold just climbed over $5,000 finally today. So, yeah, they're both up, like you said, and it's still a good time to buy because next week I think the Chinese market's going to open back up after their holidays, and that could cause things to be basically, what's the word I'm looking for, volatile. So we don't know if it's going to drop, if it's going to go up. So
yeah, that is weird. I was listening to something, gosh, maybe it was over the last weekend or something like that, that folks in China don't get a lot of, that didn't surprise me, a lot of vacation they work, but there's a, like a new year, they get a week off or something like that, and like the whole country shuts down.
For the Chinese New Year, yeah.
So they so that playing into world markets.
We kind of do the same thing through Christmas to New Year's, right?
And Mardi Gras.
Something similar. And Mardi Gras, that is true. Mardi Gras, whole 2 weeks almost.
All right. Also want to talk about gift ideas if somebody's in big trouble. A doghouse, they forgot Valentine's Day because all the Mardi Gras goings on. Talk about jewelry, what you got in stock. Yeah, because not only do y'all have things that people can go, earrings, it's a necklace, it's all these things. But you have like classic pieces they're not going to see anywhere else, like one-of-a-kind stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Very unique heirloom pieces that, you know, somebody had to sell or something that was custom-made. And we have them at a really great price. Also, we have sales, and you can actually go to our mobilebaycoins.com website and click on shop, and it'll take you to our eBay store. And you can browse on there, take a screenshot of what you like, and come into the shop and look at it in person. But we can give you a deal in person versus what we have listed at online.
All right. Well, tell folks how to find you at the shop.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, I mentioned this. We'll go to the text in a second. But I mentioned, and I saw this, I forget who it was who put it up, other tariff possibilities. So with Supreme Court saying that this IEEPA, National Security Emergency Powers, is not a just mechanism for the executive branch to impose what is a tax, right? That's the job of Congress. So what would be left? You have this. They mentioned the Section 232. I mentioned earlier, national security. That's the one that, in looking what the Supreme Court ruled today, that the question over if you can say these are items that are of national security, they could still continue with the tariffs on them. So that would be steel and coal, I think. Could be in this mix. These could still be protected under this 232, the way I understand this. Here it is. Not all tariffs are eliminated. Specific tariffs enacted under statutory authority, like Section 232, tariffs on steel and aluminum, may remain in place. So those are could be still used by, it's not everything, but those could still be in because they're seen differently. Another one here that's, I don't think they're using currently, but the administration could use is Section 301, deals with unfair trade practices. Section 122, balance of payment authority. Section 338, response to foreign discrimination. Section 201, imports threaten domestic industry. And Section 891, retaliatory tax. So at least this list they put up here, they said, what the Supreme Court did is ruled specifically on the national security emergency powers and saying the executive branch couldn't impose a tax because of that. They're leaving the Section 232 stuff in place the way I read this today. But there's another, what, five different things that could be used by the administration. Will they go with it? I don't know. President Trump has been speaking on this. He's just coming out now. Hey, actually, can we cut to that for a second? Let me do this. We're going to go to, let's go to this. We got the president speaking live on this. Let's go to that. Now,
and simultaneously, and even more amazingly, broken 7,000 on the S&P, two numbers that everybody thought upon our landslide election victory could not be attained. Think of that. Nobody thought it was possible to do it within 4 years, and we did it in 1 year. They said, you'll never be able. You'll go back and you read the geniuses, read their statements, all of the Nobel Prize winners in economics. They said, no, you couldn't do it in 4 years. Well, we didn't do it in 4 years. We did it in 1 year. We broke every record in the book, and we're continuing to do so. Tariffs have likewise been used to end 5 of the 8 wars that I settled. I settled 8 wars, whether you like it or not, including India, Pakistan, big ones, nuclear, could have been nuclear. Prime Minister of Pakistan said yesterday at the great meeting that we had, the peace board, he said yesterday that President Trump could have saved 35 million lives by getting us to stop fighting. They were getting ready to do some bad things. But they've given us great national security, these tariffs have. And together with our strong borders, reduced fentanyl coming into our country by 30%. When I use them as a penalty against countries illegally sending this poison into our country to poison our youth. All of those tariffs remain. They all remain. I don't know if you know that or not. They all remain. We're still getting them. And we will after the decision. I guess there's nobody left to appeal to. But again, those three people, such respect. I've had a lot of respect for them anyway, but such great respect. But other alternatives will now be used to replace the ones that the court incorrectly rejected. We have alternatives. Great alternatives. Could be more money. We'll take in more money and we'll be a lot stronger for it. We're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars. We'll continue to do so. To show you how ridiculous the opinion is, however, the court said that I'm not allowed to charge even $1. I can't charge $1. Can't charge a dollar. I would have used one penny, but we don't make the pennies anymore. We save money. Can't charge $1 to any country under IEEPA. Not $1, I assume, to protect other countries. This must have been done to protect those other countries, certainly not the United States of America, which they should be interested in protecting. That's what they're supposed to be protecting. But I am allowed to cut off any and all trade or business with that same country. In other words, I can destroy the trade. I can destroy the country. I'm even allowed to impose a foreign country-destroying embargo. I can embargo. I can do anything I want, but I can't charge $1. Because that's not what it says. And that's not the way it even reads. I can do anything I want to do to them, but I can't charge any money. So I'm allowed to destroy the country, but I can't charge them a little fee. I could give them a little two-cent fee, but I cannot charge under any circumstances. I cannot charge them anything. Think of that. How ridiculous is that? I'm allowed to embargo them. I'm allowed to tell them you can't do business in the United States anymore. We want you out of here. But if I want to charge them $10, I can't do that. It's incorrect. Their decision's incorrect. But it doesn't matter because we have very powerful alternatives that have been approved by this decision. You know, they've been approved by the decision for those that thought they had us. And they're saying that I have the absolute right to license, but not the right to charge a license fee. So think of that. I have the right to license, which is a very powerful word. In many ways, license is
more powerful. Well, you know, maybe I was following the right person on Twitter because the president kind of going through those other items in the tariff toolbox. So we'll keep an eye on that. Coming back, Representative Shane Stringer joins us. Also, Jason says, so much for SCOTUS being eternally faithful to Trump, as the left has claimed. The small businesses that are beholden to China for cheap crap win, America loses. Disappointing, but we fight on. I don't think he's done yet. All right, news right now. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Two things before we get to our guest here, because I just heard the promo of me talking there on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I mentioned this yesterday, but Don Dubuque retired, right? So Don, since almost when we launched the station, had done 5 to 7 Saturday mornings with his outdoor show before Mike Ward and I did ours at 7. With Don retiring, it left a big hole in the programming, big hole in our hearts as well. But starting tomorrow morning and going forward from 5 to 7, you're going to hear classic episodes of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from way back in the day through, you know, within the last year or two. Those will run from 5 to 7, and then Mike and I with a fresh one at 7 o'clock. And also, yes, Michael, I did see this. Michael said, there's something weird falling out of the sky over here on Midmost Drive. That would be rain. I got a little rain yesterday at the house. We got more in the mix today. It's a crazy thing to see. Can you imagine we're in February? I don't know if you heard Dr. Bill today. I mean, I think we not even had an inch of rain for the month of February. I don't know if y'all are new around here, but it rains in February, but not this February. All right, let's check in on this man who's on the road right now trying to get back from Montgomery. I don't know if it's raining where you are yet. It's District 102 Representative Shane Stringer. Thanks for being on. And you seen any rain where you are?
No, not at all, Sean. Thank you for having me on. But yeah, really could use a little rain. I'm sure my grass is... needing it back home, but nothing yet so far.
We'll get into talking about Montgomery stuff with the representative in a second, but y'all, I mean, it's February, and when I heard Dr. Bill said, yeah, we've just still not had an inch of rain. I mean, some Februarys, I don't know, it just seems weird. It's very little rain happening. That means March is going to be a soaker, probably. It's my best guess.
Yeah.
Dr. Bill's probably shaking his head. Sean, that's not the science. But all right. So you're on your way back from Montgomery. And I've got to ask you, of course, there's always a lot to ask you. And I'll follow up with our perennial discussion about a certain highway here that you give a lot of darn about. So do I. But first, this question about the Public Service Commission and changing the way we put the people on the PSC. I reacted to it negatively, and I don't think I was the only one in the state of Alabama that did. What did you hear from constituents?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I had the first person that was in support of that method of fixing the PSC. Lots of things that can be done, and I think the sponsor had good intentions. I think it just wasn't the thing to do. Representative Matt Butler has come back and sponsored some legislation that's going to go in and address some of the issues that we've got with the PSC, trying to make sure we have a mandatory at least 1 year rate hearings, and maybe even some reviews throughout the year involving that, trying to make sure that these utilities are not using our money for lobbying, for grants, and you know, I wouldn't say wasteful spending, but spending that should not be taking place. Trying to clean it up, make it better. As everyone knows, the power rates across the South is unbelievable. I've got elderly aunts that are struggling. You know, they're having to decide if they want to be comfortable in their home. They want mm-hmm. to pay for their medicines, their high-priced pharmaceuticals, or if they want to eat. And that is totally ridiculous that we're in that state right now.
You know, and that affected individuals. Also, the prices of things, because it takes electricity to make things. You know, people have before said, well, what does it even cost to run a radio station? I think years ago I had it enough one afternoon. I went and grabbed the Alabama power bill to run this radio station. And you could heard a pin drop when they heard what my rate, how much I pay. It's a ton to do this. So that all those costs all get factored into the system. But what you said there, too, what we're not talking about, we're not comparing apples to oranges and what they're doing in Montana or New York. In the Southeast, even with other companies that are under the Southern Company, we pay more than the rest of them. And I think as a normal person, I just want to know why. Why is that?
I agree with you, and a lot of people are asking that same question, and it's, you know, I'm surprised that things have not exploded or blew up more than they have. You know, we had, I guess it was about a year and a half ago when the Southern Company, you know, did a press release advertising the billions of dollars profits they made, and that was right among the months that everybody was having some of the highest power bills they've ever had, so... I'm surprised this has not come to a head and exploded before now, but, you know, I co-sponsored Representative Mac Butler's bill to go in there and put some checks and balances in place and hopefully get things under control and hopefully give the PSC some more authority to try to address some of the concerns of our citizens.
Yeah, what I would like to see in the and we'll get to the, you know, the big one here, the third rail of it, and how we put the people on there. But in the meantime, on these meetings we're talking about, I would like to see the book. We can see the books. It's not a private company; it's a utility. And I, you know, I've said kind of heard you saying the same thing. I've got no problem with them putting money into infrastructure, paying our linemen, having good vehicles and equipment. None of that bothers me. I don't understand why they need to advertise, because they're, I can't. People advertise when there's multiple choices in a free market. I don't have a choice of getting another power company. It's Alabama Power. Why they get to advertise, why they get to do stuff with that money that's not doing the thing of bringing power safely and to your home. I don't get the rest of it. I really don't. I'm lost. I'd love to be able to open the books once a year and say, what do y'all spend the money on? Line item. Let's look at it.
I 1,000% agree with you, and I think that there's definitely got to be more transparency. I think we've got to figure out some of that stuff, and if we have to pass legislation to prohibit those type of situations, then so be it. We need to work on it. There's just too much going on with that money, the advertising, offering grants and stuff. We shouldn't have to be funding grants that Alabama Power is given to the citizens. I think our taxpayer money is funding for the roads, streets, you know, public safety, that type stuff already.
Yeah, I've said this about, and a lot of focus is on Alabama Power, but all the utilities in the state have often said, I don't need a magazine, y'all, about what you're doing. I need you just to lower my rate. I've got plenty of other magazines I'm not reading. I'm not going to read y'all's as well. So just lower my rate. But this question about the big thing here that started, you know, had me and so many of us react poorly to this, was the idea of making this an appointed position. And the argument, and Representative Chip Brown was on talk about it. His argument was, you know, well, look at the rates we have. Look at the situation when we have elected officials. And we did argue that the people that are on the board right now, all through different mechanisms, have been appointed at this point. But just because we haven't done a good job of electing the right people, if that's what he's saying, doesn't mean we shouldn't have the right to do it. I mean, I would argue that we need to do a better job paying attention to PSC candidates, but that's not a reason to not be able to elect somebody.
No, I agree. And I think the citizens, you know, definitely have to pay attention to who they're electing in positions and watch that. But I also think that there's things that needed to be done, like what Representative Matt Butler's doing right now in trying to clean some things up. Let's draw some lines. Give some boundaries to what can be done instead of just leaving it open for, you know, whatever measures or whatever promotion that, you know, the utilities want to use that money for.
You know, maybe I'm just being Pollyanna here, but I would like to hear, and I've invited and I've had PSC candidates on the show, and this open invitation to all of them. I would love to hear competing among the candidates, like, hey, I'm, you know, Bob Alabama, and I'm running for PSC. I looked at the books, and I think I can save us, you know, 12% on our power bills if we do these things and that. And then, hey, I'm Sally Alabama, and I think I can do 14% because of this. Like, let them compete with ideas, and we the people, and go, yeah, they make sense. That person makes sense to me. Where it all gets wrapped up in, like, they talk about what's going on in Washington. I'd like somebody just to pitch to me how they're going to do better for my utilities in the state.
Yeah, I think you're 100% spot on with that, and I think that would help, you know, help in that situation. And, you know, you've brought up some good questions. I've listened to some of your shows as you're talking about this topic, and I think that a lot of people would much rather do without a magazine or do without seeing a 100 utility sign, promotion signs along the interstate or wherever. You know, I don't think anybody's wanting to hurt the utility companies' employees or
the linemen are some great. I'm friends with the linemen. They're great people. They do a very hard job. They do it in tough conditions. I want them to have good equipment. I want us to have good power lines, good trucks, all those things I'm in for. Just why we got to have a billboard? Let me ask you, Representative, do you get a choice who you buy power from?
Not at all. I mean, nor do I.
So why advertise? And I'm in the advertising business. Why advertise?
Well, and a lot of that is self-promotion and, you know, just trying to do that. And, you know, we don't need that. You know, I think people are, you know, we're in some of the toughest times that we've been in over the years. And I think a lot of people are struggling with these higher utility rates. And people need help. People need breaks. People need some cuts. And I think it's time to trim the fat. Let's cut back some of this unnecessary stuff that's going on and get these rates down to where people can afford them.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You feel, what do you feel? I mean, co-signing on this new bill, but kind of what's the sense in Montgomery? Is this thing got traction beyond you, or kind of give me your, if you had to kind of put your finger on the pulse of this?
It's hard to say. Representative Butler, I spoke with him. He said he had a great conversation with the speaker, Nathaniel Ledbetter, and that sound like that we're gonna move forward with this, and hopefully in a rapid pace. And let's see if we can't get something done before the session's out with it.
Okay, before we run out of time, something you and I have talked about over the years. I know you talked to Jeff about it as well, and it's a road of, you know, I've run so much in my life, and as have you, and if anybody's ever driven it, you can look at the number of crosses on that that road, tells you something. That's Highway 45, and just my, I know your frustration too with this deadliest highway in the state, and it's seemingly being invisible to the folks at ALDOT.
Yeah, I've had some better conversations with them. You know, just trying to get some help there. They've done some things. The rumble strips, you know, that has absolutely helped reduce fatalities and wrecks there, but it's still not the solution. I've had some conversations pushing for either extended the passing lanes that we have or either adding passing lanes there. ALDOT seemed to be somewhat receptive to those concepts for now. And we will continue to fight, and I appreciate all your help in this matter, because that is the only way we're going to bring attention to it and get something done.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you and I have talked about this so many times. Like, what is the job of the Department of Transportation and government in general? And obviously, you've done it as a career. It's public safety, right? Safety of the people. And so if I'm deciding, not that road projects that bring business and all these things, those are good. But if I have a public safety issue on a road, I think that should be paramount, that I deal with that one before I deal with the thing that makes a place for a, you know, a new strip mall.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's been my push all along. Let's show the numbers. Let's show the fatalities. Let's show the number of wrecks. Let's show the dangers on this road, and show the traffic count, show that it is just blew out of proportion. And I think that paints a picture that can't nobody deny. So, I'll continue to fight the good fight. I'll continue to be the squeaky wheel, and I'll continue to push to get all the help I can get from ALDOT and the governor's office.
We appreciate it, and I appreciate having you back on the show. We'll get you back on soon, and have a safe drive the rest of the way back home.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Y'all be blessed.
All right. There goes Representative Shane Stringer, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. On this Friday, glad to have you along. And just a week out from the Mobile Boat Show, I'll be doing Midday Mobile live at the Boat Show noon to 2, a week from today. Plus, we'll be down there through the weekend with the Guides Corner and a FM Talk 106.5 outdoor show in person at the Boat Show. That'll be at 11 o'clock a week from tomorrow. So, but we'll talk more about that coming up and our guest list for that event, but hope to see you down there. Let me find this on the notes here. Okay, CB Carl. Hey, Sean, I'm surprised I haven't heard anything on the news about this weekend being storm supply tax holiday weekend. I didn't hear anything about it this morning from the guys, which is surprising because those two are usually on top of things. Well, we've had the newscast have run on that. So they've been running the newscast where they just read the press releases. They I didn't say that out loud. They've been talking about it. I had it queued up yesterday, just ran out of time. The news cycle right now is berserk. But yeah, so that goes into effect. The Alabama, which I've often said too, if we can argue that this is a good thing, right, to have a sales tax holiday, the state portion of the sales tax, and often counties, municipalities do the same thing. If it's a good thing to get people getting the things they need, well, why can't we just do it completely on groceries? But oh well. So the sales tax holiday begins today. Runs through Sunday. This is, where you get some of the items, even if you're not getting ready for, some of the items you can use around other times of the year, right? I mean, it's not just severe weather, but, batteries, flashlights, chargers for a cell phone, coolers, all those kind of things, gas and diesel tanks, right? Not the big tanks, I don't think, but, the handheld, but, some of the big stuff you can get, I think this is where you can save a little bit of money. Generators. I mean, you can save some money if you go get a cell phone charger, but it's not big money. But if you go get a generator or something like that, it can make a difference in it. Weather radios is on the list every year. And I'll come back to this. I have been on this since I was in music radio. You'll get it. And yes, with your cell phones now and the alerts coming through, it's a secondary. But it's just something about having a weather radio that in the middle of the night, you get a tornado situation or something like that, comes on and wakes you up. There's for the price of one, it is money well spent. All right, I think every home should have one. Even if you got your cell phones that are going to come on with a warning, they could be out of charge. They could be get a weather radio, have that in the house just somewhere where, like, I put it in the bedroom, so because that's where I'd be sleeping and wake me up. So it is out there. So duly noted, CB Carl. Let's see. Daphne Leatherneck. What's up, Daphne Leatherneck? Sean, you show me how to get Congress to do their job, and I'll show you a dog that can juggle squirrels without biting one. But my rub is here. So many of these things we talk about that are now in the executive branch or the judicial branch, or in this case, both, with the judicial branch making a ruling about the executive branch's action, are all things that Congress should have done in the first place. These executive fiats are because they're doing things that the Congress has chosen not to do or ignored. T-Mac says, I saw where WVUA reported that Alabama Power stated that the lack of modern insulation is why my bill is higher. How is that possible when the same kilowatt hours cost me 30% more than just a few years ago? Great question. Was that VUA radio or VUA TV? I worked on both of them when I was a student at the university. I had more time on the radio, but I did do some news anchoring for their for our college TV station. Oh, those were the days. All right. Unnamed texture says, we'll probably end up with $20 extra on our power bill one month after all of it is resolved. Whoop-de-doo. Sam T. said, Sean, good day. One time I heard that Alabama Power had something like 25 vice presidents in Alabama alone. Is this true? And what is it? And what for, if so? I don't know that. I can dig into that. I can. I don't know how many vice presidents they have. But it's some of the things like, I want the utilities to have the infrastructure they need because I demand that they do the best to bring in power, or in the case of water and sewer people, keeping the sewer out of the water. I want them to have the money to do those things. I just don't need the extra stuff. And y'all, I'm in the world of advertising. And when you're in a free market and you're competing, it's very, very important. But when you when you're a utility, I don't have a choice. So why you got to promote? Save that money. Give that, you know, save that in rates. Maybe use that to move coal ash or something else, since the rates already went up to do that, right? And there it is. Michael said President Trump just announced he's immediately signing an executive order imposing an additional 10% tariff across the board on national security grounds under Section 122. Trump's also declared that all tariffs under Section 301 will remain in place. So I went through that list, right, Michael, earlier. So 301, here, Section 232, depending on or my interpretation, what SCOTUS said, so the aluminum and steel tariffs still stay in place because they're national security 232. Michael mentioned 301, which is Section 301's unfair trade practices, that he can, like I said, that he wasn't done. The Supreme Court ruled specifically for this National Security Emergency Powers, the IEEPA, but he still had like another five he could use here. So 301 remains in place, unfair trade practices. 122, which is balance of payments authority, stays in place. So we'll see. He does have more tools in the toolbox on that. All right, coming back, Senator Rusty Glover joins us right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay tuned.